Well, hello, we're in James chapter 4, 11 to 17, and I've got a poem here from Philip Larkin. It's called Days. What are days for? Days are where we live. They come, they wake us time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days? Ah, solving that question brings the priest and the doctor in their long coats running over the fields. Some Sundays I do want to be like a priest or a doctor running over the fields with my long coat, and I want you to ponder eternity. But today we're in more wisdom style literature. We're in the book of James, and so let's just realize that tomorrow will have enough worries of its own to hear the words of Jesus, and let's give our attention to today. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to number our days rightly so that we can have a heart of wisdom. And help us to take hold of today in just the way you want us to. Lord, teach us now from the wisdom of James. Amen. I've brought four things along with me today. I've got a photo here. I've got a Bible, I've got a mirror, and I've got a calendar. And what I'm hoping is that these objects will help us to understand and then remember and then be able to live out the wisdom that James has for us. But before we get to those, I just want to step back a bit and remind us of the big sense of the book of James. James keeps contrasting two ways of living. There's humble, wise, consistent, self-controlled living that puts faith into works. It's a way of living that starts with a right appreciation of who we are with reference to God. It begins with a fear of God and a sense of how small we are under God. And that life works best when we're not conflicted about whether we want to serve God or not. You'll remember the satisfaction of single-mindedness, the pleasure of purity, and the joy of being just one thing. But the other way of living is really unattractive in James's mind. It's earthly wisdom, it's being proud, ambitious, greedy, it's devilish wisdom, really. It's the kind of person who's content to use other people to work for them or to give status to them or to make them rich and comfortable, but they don't actually ever turn faith into action when it comes to how they treat other people. Now, these two ways of living are on James's mind as he directs our attention to how we view others and how we view the future. So that's what we're thinking about today, how to view others and how to view the future. So let's think about how we view others. And that's why I brought along a photo. This is an old photo that I found of one of our boys' birthday parties. So the photo is probably about, 15, 20 years old. It's got family and friends standing in a circle. And I think they might be doing the hokey pokey or something. Now, what might I think and feel as I look at an old photo like this? Oh, wow, Raymond's put on a lot of weight. Man, that guy can eat. Oh, look, Tom and Virginia are still together then. But we all knew that wouldn't last. Where's Rebecca? Did she make it to that party or was she too hungover like usual? Oh, there's Uncle Neil in the corner. I bet he didn't bring a present. That guy is so stingy. Do you ever find yourself talking in that kind of way when you're thinking about other people? Listen to James. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. In our Bibles, we've got the word slander and then we've got the word speak against. That's a fine translation. In Greek, James manages to do it by using the same word over and over again. It's like he's saying something like, don't speak evil of each other and don't speak evil of the law, or don't badmouth each other and don't badmouth the law. Now, given the context of James, I'm wondering if he's not so much concerned about the way we talk about each other's weight or marriages or drinking habits or stinginess. I wonder if he's worried that people are slandering each other, speaking ill of each other in the context of coveting and quarreling. That's what he's talking about, you might remember, at the beginning of chapter 4. And if we go to the beginning of chapter 5, we'll see that the context there is that people are not paying their workers. And James is really upset about that. James maybe has been reading the book of Ecclesiastes, where the writer says, "I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another." And maybe James is seeing the envy that's present in the Christian community, and it's affecting how people view one another and talk about each other. I wonder if people are looking across their fields and seeing some people, maybe even Christian brothers and sisters who've come to work for them, and they're saying, "Oh, look at that guy. He's lazy. He's late again. Well, I'm just going to dock his pay this week. And look at her. Nothing but talk, talk, talk. She's not getting her work done. And what's she doing now? She's not gleaning to the very edges of the fields. She's leaving some food there at the edges of the fields. Well, oh well, her quota will be down today. She'll get less money." And then you see that couple that you've been talking about with their children at church, and their clothes aren't as impressive as yours. They look a bit shabby. And so you say to your family, "Let's not sit with them. It wouldn't be a good look." James wants people who are doing stuff like that to stop and think about their attitude to God's law. I mean, Leviticus would say, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of the field. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. Do not steal. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of your hired worker overnight." James is aware that there are people in the Christian community who say that they believe, but they live as if they are above the words of God. They ridiculously live as if they were God, the lawgiver and judge. It's like they've got their Bibles, sure, they've got their Old Testaments, but they're saying, "No, I live above this law. I live above this." And James says to them, "What I want you to do is to take a good look in the mirror. Take a look in the mirror. Who are you? Who are you?" says James. What do you see in that mirror? Do you see there somebody who has the right to look at other human beings and treat them with contempt? Do you see there somebody who's got the right to reduce other people to instruments, to gather their food and sew their clothes and just make money for them? I can't help but think that James would be really shocked if he knew some of the inequalities that were at work in our world today that we just seem happy to ignore or justify. "Who are you?" he says. "You are just a human being who needs God to tell them how to live. You are just a human being who will stand before God one day in judgment and who desperately needs God to save." At the end of June, I was in the ministry center with the Alive at Five people. And as it happened that night, mainly on the screen on Zoom, we heard from the chaplain at Alawa. We heard of work that someone was doing as a nurse in helping people come to terms with their stomas as they got bags to deal with their body's waste products. We heard of a man going to support an Indigenous father from Emerton in court. We heard stories of homeless ministry in Bishkek, you might remember from Naomi's sermon. And I felt surrounded by people who saw themselves as servants, not as others who were better than the people around them, not as people who were better than God in their own estimate. I saw people who could see human need and suffering and could identify with it. And I saw then how God's Spirit and Word and wisdom can make people know who they really are. Now, the ambition and greed was showing itself in the lives of James's community, not only in how they were viewing others — I'm scared I'm going to break the mirror — not only in how they were viewing others, but also in how they were viewing the future. And so that's why I've brought along a calendar today. What's your relationship to your calendar? Do you live in the past, getting nourished by memories, or getting cut down by regret in the past? Or do you always find yourself living in the future? Now, maybe that's a healthy thing. The future is for you a source of hope and wonder in terms of what God's going to do. Or do you find yourself living in the future with a dreadful, gnawing anxiety that will never go away? We could spend hours reflecting on our relationship with God and how it sits within our relationship to time, and how God might free us from guilt and shame and the damage of the past, and how God might open up for us a future free from condemnation and full of unspeakable glory. James, though, is especially worried that there are people in the Christian community who just love to show you their calendars as they say, "Oh, tomorrow I've got this trip planned, I'm heading up to Corinth, it's so busy there, and I've got this shipment of silk coming in, and I'm going to make a packet." James says, put down your calendar, would you, and pick up a mirror. And he asks again, who are you? Who are you? Take a look in the mirror. Look, you are not the lawgiver. You are not the judge. And you know what? When you look in the mirror, you're not looking at the God of the future and the Lord of time. You are not the God of the future. You are not the Lord of time. You don't know whether that ship with that silk on it is even going to arrive in Corinth. You don't know if the captain of the ship is going to demand some sort of exorbitant bribe and you'll never see that silk. You don't know whether anybody even wants to wear silk this year and whether you'll even be able to sell any of it. You are a mist, says James. Go on. Blow in the mirror. Go on. Blow in the mirror. You see the vapor, and then you see it just evaporate. You are a mist. That's you, fleeting, insubstantial, here one moment and gone the next, not at all in control of the future. Go back and read Ecclesiastes, James is saying. Take a look in the mirror. Who are you? Verse 14. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Wisdom that comes down from heaven has a real humility that acknowledges that we are just mist. And this is humility, not humiliation. It's not a being brought down to size in a way that you come to resent. It's not humiliation. It's liberating, delightful, wise humility. You know, I've been worried about tomorrow. I've found the calendar actually a source of anxiety in COVID times. In a way, COVID has made me less busy. I'm not commuting down to Croydon anywhere near like I normally would. But in other ways, I've become increasingly busy. And I've often found myself sleepless and worried. Everything I seem to do for either church or for my lecturing job is just that bit harder. Have I set up the Zooms or not? Can my students see this document? Have I set this up? Have I formatted it correctly? How do I use this camera? How do I upload this recording so that people can hear it? I've been sick with worry sometimes when my thoughts have gone to tomorrow and all the new skills that I seem to need to be able to learn all of a sudden. Take a look in the mirror, says James. Breathe on it. You are just a mist. I'm never going to be able to master everything about tomorrow. So can't I just let myself relax a bit? Isn't it okay not to always get everything right if I'm just a mist? That need not be humiliating. That can be liberating. If the ship doesn't arrive at Corinth, well, did I really have control over that? No. So I don't need to worry, do I? As transient, fleeting creatures whose lives amount to, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 decades or so, surely we can learn to put aside some of our ambition. Are we really going to change the world? Surely we can learn to put aside some of our anxiety, can't we? Jesus said, you're not going to add a day to your life or an inch to your height by worrying. It's profoundly helpful, isn't it, to look in a mirror as you look at a calendar and to realize, actually, all I have is today. All that I have is right now. I'm not normally one to use fridge magnet platitudes, but I'm going to do so now. Have you seen this fridge magnet or this poster? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. That's something James wants you to know. Your choice to enjoy the satisfaction of single-mindedness, the pleasure of purity, the joy of being just one thing, will be enhanced by realizing that single-mindedness is about your choosing right now. It's about what you're choosing right now, today. That sense of flow that we've talked about, that paying attention to right now. It's letting the pride or the pain of the past go and being honest about your misty lack of mastery over the future so that you can notice life with God and with others and with yourself right now. Because actually, the only moment in which you have living presence is now. The only moment in which you have agency and choice is now. Do you live your life with God with that awareness? All your passion to love and to worship and to know God gets down to this. What am I doing right now? So when it's time to write things on the calendar, how should you do that? Well, James would say, don't do it with boasting. Do it with prayer. See verse 15? Pray something like this. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Prayer is yet another posture and practice of one who's wisely understood that God is creator and that they are creature. Of course, with any wisdom theme, there's room to over-apply it and distort it. You might say, oh, okay, Kurt, you're saying to me I'm just a mist without mastery over the future, so well, I might as well just stay in bed, mightn't I? I might as well just have a sleep and I might as well just call in sick to work tomorrow. Notice the combination of ideas in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4:6 does seem to be saying don't work too hard. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Fair enough. But the verse immediately before it says this, fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Ecclesiastes 4:5. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. You only have today, But don't fold your hands and ruin yourself. Today is not for lazy disengagement. The writer of Ecclesiastes knows that you are a mist with no mastery over the future, but he still insists, Ecclesiastes 11:6, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. In the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 11:1 encourages acts of generosity and enterprise, casting your bread on the water, well aware that disaster may come upon the land and you don't have mastery over that, but still be enterprising and be generous. So perhaps it's not such a surprise that James ends this little section of his teaching with verse 17, where he seems to stop this emphasis on being a mist who's transient, and he says this: if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. What are days for? Days are where we live. They come, they wake us time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days? James would like Larkin's poem, but he might change one line. Days are not so much to be happy in, but to do good in, says James. And of course, the wisest of psychologists would tell us that doing good will actually lead to happiness anyway. The good that you might be doing right now could be smiling across the room to somebody as you listen to this sermon, noticing some kids who need attention, or a person who's going to need some help to get up in a minute. It might be deciding right now to pay someone that money you owe them as soon as church is over, or to finally write a shopping list that bothers to notice the ethical ratings of the products you buy. You might be making a decision right now to give money away, or you might be quietly praying through your plans for Sunday afternoon or for Monday morning. You have today. It is God's gift. It's His present to you. It might be all you get, since you are a fleeting mist. What's the good you know you ought to do?